growing up as a child, I was an active part of Resurrection Lutheran Church in Redondo Beach. And every year, they had a kids' camp up at Camp El Camino Pines, up out of Fraser Park in the Los Angeles National Forest. So like our kids and people go from here up to Luther Haven, I went up to El Camino Pines regularly. And there, I learned a song that just became my favorite from the very first hearing. The chorus went, "They will know we are Christians by our love. By our love, they will know we are Christians by our love." And as a boy, I received this by faith. I just trusted it. But as I grew, I began to question its truth. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is talking about a different way of living, a kingdom way, a loving way. And this way is different than the kingdom of the world. And as if we needed a reminder of a different way of living, we had the events of the last two nights. Have you been paying attention? As we gathered here for the LCMC Northwest District gathering on Friday, a young man was murdered not three blocks away from here by gun. This is the neighborhood in which we live. And then last night, a woman was left to die after being shot out on Gum Street in Kennewick. Do you think we need a different way? Absolutely, we need a different way. We are faced, if we don't know what's going on around us, it's time we pull our heads out of the sand and realize that as Jesus teaches us in the Sermon on the Mount, we ought to pay attention, not for our own sakes, but for the sake of the world around us. Because Jesus' way is a loving way, and this world is bathed in hatred. We are reminded, as we take a look back at the Sermon on the Mount, that Jesus talks about the norms in the kingdom, and that they are upside down as compared to the norms of the world, where the poor in spirit are those who are blessed, where those who mourn and the meek and those who hunger for righteousness' sake and the merciful and the pure in heart and the peacemakers and those who are persecuted are elevated, blessed in the kingdom of God. Jesus has also talked about the expectations in the kingdom of God as compared to the world, that they are much higher, where murder and adultery and retribution are redefined, and spiritual disciplines like almsgiving and prayer and fasting are done to please God, not people around us. Jesus teaches in the Sermon on the Mount that the attitudes in the kingdom of God are dependent, unlike those in the kingdom of the world. This is where God gives generously and abundantly to those who ask and seek and knock. Jesus also preached that the law and the prophets in the kingdom of God are fulfilled, whereas they are woefully underfulfilled in the kingdom of the world. Now in today's verse, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, Jesus is making his second main point of the sermon. The first main point was made back in chapter 6 and verse 33, where Jesus says, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness," which, as we talked about when we preached it, that literally means loving God. That was Jesus' first point of the sermon. The second point of his sermon, then, is this: in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. And I would suggest to you that Jesus means nothing less here than loving others, also demanded and fulfilled in the law and prophets. So, does this sound familiar? Love God, love others. This is known as the golden rule. Jesus says, in everything you do. And as Norm read for us, we know that Moses, in the words recorded in Leviticus, knew the golden rule to apply to the law. So what do we do to others? Well, look at Leviticus. Well, do not steal, do not lie, do not deceive one another, do not defraud or rob your neighbor, do not hold back the wages of a hired worker overnight, do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, do not pervert justice, do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly, do not go about slandering others among your people. Do not do anything that endanger your neighbor's life. Do not hate a fellow Israelite in your heart. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people. But you hear the stack up of the do nots. Do not, do not, do not. Now we're thinking, well, what do we do? Well, did you pick up on what Norm was reading from Leviticus? What do we do? But love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Moses understood the meaning of the golden rule to mean love your neighbor as yourself. Isn't it the same thing? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus also, in our gospel reading, Matthew 22, understands the golden rule, as we call it, as loving your neighbor as yourself. The Pharisees come to Jesus and they challenge him. Surprise! Like this never happens. And they say to Jesus, they want to trap him, you see. They want to find him guilty of misinterpreting the law, misteaching the scriptures. And so they say to him, and this would have been an impossible question to answer, except for Jesus, what is the greatest of the commandments? And Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. And there is one like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus says, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And then Romans chapter 13, Paul has obviously picked up on the teaching of Jesus here. Again, as Norm read for us, Paul talks about how we treat others the way we want to be treated. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt, except the continuing debt to love each other. For whoever loves others has what? Fulfilled the law. The commandment, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be. That's all inclusive. It's an exhaustive list that includes all the law. He says, these are all summed up in this one command. Have you guessed what it is yet? Love your neighbor as yourself. And so we catch up with Jesus again in chapter 7 and verse 12. Have you made the connection yet? Are your minds working? What time is it? It's after 9. You're awake. I don't see anybody sleeping. Have your minds made the connection yet to this teaching of Jesus? Could it be that Jesus is talking here in the Sermon on the Mount about the great commandment? Could it be? To love God and to love your neighbor. Could this be Jesus' point of the sermon? I would suggest to you, absolutely. This is the crux. This is the foundation. This is the teaching of Jesus found in 6:33 and now in 7:12. This twofold purpose. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. Christian, that means love God. And now do to others what you would have them do to you. Christian, that means love others. And in fulfilling these two commandments, both the law and the prophet are summed, are completed, are made perfect, are brought to fulfillment. We know what the kingdom of God demands of us. We know that Jesus' highest command for us is to love God and to love others. And we know that we live, quite literally, in the neighborhood where the kingdom of the world continues to fight against the kingdom of God vigorously. We are desperate, friends. We are desperate for a different way. We are desperate to live loving God and love others. See, I want to suggest to you that the how of the great commandment is summed up here in the Sermon on the Mount. Pastor Corey and I were talking this week. You know, many times as we're preparing our sermons, we like to bounce ideas off each other just to make sure we're preaching the true gospel. So as Corey came into my office, I said to him, regarding this next statement I'm going to make, I said, on a scale of 1 to 10, how heretical is what I'm about to say? You understand what I said there, right? I was asking him, is this heresy? Am I presenting now false teaching? Well, he never answered the question, but I'm assuming that he was in agreement with me. I hope so. We'll see. Here's what I want to suggest to you as you think about the importance of the Sermon on the Mount. Friends, if in your Christian life you seek none other than to fulfill the Sermon on the Mount, well, you're there. You will hear from your Lord, well done, good and faithful servant, if the Sermon on the Mount is the only teaching you embrace and live out. Because I believe the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus' exegesis. That's a big word for critical explanation and interpretation. So I believe that the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus' interpretation of the great commandment to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. That is, Jesus gave that command, he had in mind the Sermon on the Mount. He says, here's the what you need to do, love God and love your neighbor, and here's how you do it, the Sermon on the Mount. And so in the upside-down norms, in the higher expectations, in the dependent attitudes, and in kingdom living, we live out through the Sermon on the Mount, the great commandment. And isn't that a worthwhile goal, purpose? Would we not be found faithful and obedient to the call of Christ on our lives? Would that not fulfill Jesus' expectation to take up our cross, to bear it for his sake? Christian friends, the world needs you. The world is desperate for a different way. Will you live it? If you're looking for a way to live out the great commandment, to love God and love others in the kingdom of God, go no further than here, the Sermon on the Mount. Amen. I would encourage you to please stand.